Some evil men have connived to release the spirit of violence and destruction in the state. But we bind it. Amen. It can no longer function here. Amen. It can go somewhere else and manifest itself, but not here. Hallelujah. It was said by the intercessors that kept this territory before we were enlisted, that much of the bondages that we experienced here was established by a covenant that was done in 1976. That they brought Indians to set up that altar. The altar was set up at the bank of the River Benue River. The Lord gives us an opening tonight to change that narrative. So the second prayer we're praying is, because the demon that covenant is supposed to activate is weak right now. It's weak. It has not been fed for some time. We want to cut off the regime of the reign of that spirit. Can we cry one more time? We cut off. In the name of Jesus. So many destinies are tied to this covenant. Marriages that have been shipwrecked, lives marginalized, darkness that was introduced. Finally, we want to insist, any form of darkness that came on the account of that covenant, let it be broken. Let it be broken. Can we cry one more time? One more time.
name of Jesus.
Amen.
As soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. So I make bold to announce that a new season has been given to this land.
Yes.
Those that were kept in bondage, their marriages have been shaken because of these arrangements that were put in place. Women that have been suppressed. Oh my God. Curses that were enacted, things that were proclaimed. We bring an end to that order in the name of Jesus Christ. Let that season that God has so desperately desired to bring into the land begin to come. Let it begin to come. In the name of Jesus. You may be seated. We'll take a shot from the word of God. Then we go back to war. Sometimes we need to learn warfare from the way Israel did it. Sometimes they magnify their God on the field of battle. And the effect of his praise will be felt in the camp of the enemy. The Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That's what we call the spirit of intercession. You cannot, what we did now, you can't do it in the flesh. We don't have the energy to do it. But when the spirit of intercession, when it rests, it means God, through your spirit, is trying to achieve something. And so you flow with him. Hallelujah. And you keep striking until you see that the enemy has been cut off. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 32. This is Paul speaking, and he said, if after the manner of men, I fought with the beast at Ephesus. So there was a certain manner after which he fought against the beast of Ephesus. And the beast that he's talking about here are not beasts in terms of lions and wild animals in the field. They were spiritual beasts that he contended with, and it said it was not after the manner of men that he fought those beasts. First thing I need to say quickly before we go deeply into the subject of spiritual warfare. How many of you have noticed when certain spiritual attacks seem to be coming your way, the expression of the attacker that you see takes an animalistic form, either a snake or a dog? Or how many of you have it takes an animalistic form? All right, if you can't understand that, let's achieve that from another perspective. Most of our traditional rulers are hailed as some animalistic expressions. Either the lion of Tivland, Agabaidu, what's that? Lion and cobra. Who can help us? Do you know the greeting of your... Are you a Nigerian? Are you a Nigerian? You should know. Who can help us with more? What's that one? The glory of the lion. Why do you think? Say it in Tiv language. Give her the mic. Say it that way. Is it the crocodile that is fighting the microphone? Give it. See. Oh my God. Yes, what is the name of your chief? The greeting. There is a title. There's a way they hail him. How do they hail him?
Ambe Okonshisha.
Ambe.
Ambe Okonshisha.
Ambe Okonshisha. That means the crocodile of Okonshisha. Has it occurred to you why it is the greetings are animalistic dimensions? That's not occurred to you. All right. We need someone from the South South that knows how they hail your king. South 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 West. Okay, somebody from the South East has. What did you call it? Yes, South South. Anyone from there? You don't know the how your king is greeted. Well, we got enough samples here. That's a beast. Paul said that he fought against some beast in Ephesus and did not fight them after the manner of men. So it was not by blows and kicks that he fought those beasts. It was a different kind of engagement, far removed from the prosecutions of war known to men. I'd like us to peep into this war, this fight that Paul is speaking about. And also to peep through scriptures to find clues from his writings as to how he achieved this mighty feat. Hallelujah. Second scripture I want to bring to our notice before we begin the lesson. It's Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 12. It's a very common base that we must consult on the issue of spiritual warfare. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It means we prosecute spiritual warfare by the Lord. So it says, be strong in the Lord. We prosecute spiritual warfare by the power that is resident in his might. So those are the two sources of spiritual backing when you are in a spiritual war. Well, that's not my emphasis anyway. He said, the reason why he says you should be strong in the Lord and what it means to be strong in the Lord. Those days I was a footballer, but you don't believe that anyway. My elder brother is a huge man. So when we cause trouble, you run and stand behind him. Everybody is afraid of him. So I was strong in my brother. So the Bible is saying, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the power that is in the Lord's might. That's the Holy Ghost. So I will introduce these two dimensions of strength as we proceed in this matter. Because Paul says he combated the beasts not after the manner of men. All right. Let me show us how to fight spiritual wars. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 to 10. He said, be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Next verse. So Paul is teaching us how to deal with him. The first thing that Paul speaks about here is what we call persistent resistance in the faith. So the first way of spiritual warfare is persistence or persistent resistance in the faith. The reason why it needs to be persistent is because Satan will not back out at your first charge. He will never back out just because you shouted. He will back out when he sees that you are interested in this battle in such a way that you are not willing to back out. So he will now say, all right, let's postpone this. So you keep persisting in faith until you notice Luke chapter 4, verse 13. Luke chapter 4, verse 13 is what we suggest to you that the battle has ended temporarily. And when the devil had ended all his temptations, he departed from him for what? A season. So until the devil departs, you do not end your persistent resistance in the faith. Is that clear? Go back to 1 Peter chapter 5. After the first festival of glory that we had, many people in Africa watched that crusade. And I got an invitation to Uganda. I sent Shala, Opore, and Jangfa to go for that mission. When they went for that mission, they did very well. Another door of ministry opened to them, not to me now, but to them, to go to Rwanda the next year. They went to Rwanda. When they got to Rwanda, Okpore saw a spirit, an evil spirit, in the realm, and he resisted. And he went to sleep in the night. The spirit came and choked him, and he couldn't say Jesus. Now, when you watch wrestling, stay with me. Don't laugh. During a wrestling fight, have you ever seen that an opponent won a fight just because he gave one blow? So what makes you think that after that one blow, the fight has ended, so you went to sleep? The devil is more active when men are less active. That's why the devil chose the night. That's the most vulnerable period for men, but the most active period for spirits. If you want to be a warrior, then you will pay the price to be awake when men sleep. Huh? That's when spirits are active. From 12 to 2, they are most active. Most witchcraft meetings that are held from 12 to 2 because spirits are active. Any decision you make, you can release it to demons through incantation. They will take it and prosecute it. And you can come by 5 a.m., 6 a.m. when the day is breaking, and you will see that what the demons transmitted actually got home. So if you are under attack, expect a call from the person fighting you 6 a.m. No, this is warfare now. So I won't hide it again. I have to tell you the truth. So when you give the spirit a blow, resist, boom. They gave blow and then went to sleep. When the spirit didn't fight them instantly, when he is most active, he now came. You know, in wrestling, there's something they call hammer lock. That they will put your head here and lock it up. That was what they did to Ukpore. And that's why I was, it's like this, hammer lock. The person that was bold, that struck a chord now in the afternoon, in the night, could not stay. Because he was under. Amen. He didn't know, he didn't understand that in spiritual warfare, you resist steadfast in the faith. So when you give that blow in the afternoon, in the night, put on your boxers and wait for the spirit. Because the spirit will come. Ooh. The spirit will come. Most of you will do che-che-che-che-che in the daytime and go on. No, real warriors know that che-che-che-che-che is problem. In the night, that's when you will see a song will start. Warriors, there are songs you need to see. If you want to war very well, there are selected songs for warfare. Like the one I sang now, it charges God. I will not go there yet. Let's still be going small by small. Small by small, small by small. We went for a meeting in Ghana. When we're done with the meeting, our friends came together. They had elaborate plans on how we will spend time and relax. And I found out that Ghana has a wonderful resorts. You know, you just want to a beach, you know, you want to just relax. Ghana is wonderful. So we traveled, went deep. And then in the heart of a village, there were very cozy places and a beach. I took the children forgot us and began to swim. Philip B. took a bike on the river. I was praying for him. Everyone was active. But you know what? By 1 o'clock, that fire came here. Before I began to decree those things, I decreed the fire. It came here. Anytime that fire comes, it means God has given me authority to speak something. So I now told God, I said, there's no war here. Everybody is running around. You know, the place is not for war. We have finished the fight. The fire. From 1 o'clock, I went to sleep. I woke up by 4. The fire had intensified. By 6, it had intensified. So I now say, okay, since you want to kill something, I'm walking on the beach. If you see the thing, show me. The moment I said that, I saw standing on the water a goddess looking at me. So my disposition was this. This place is not for spirits, it's for men. You have no right to be standing there. So in the name of Jesus, be gone. The spirit didn't expect that power. The power that struck that spirit. He didn't expect it. This prayer I prayed was 6 o'clock. By, was it 7 or 8? I gathered the whole team, all the swimming people, then Philip B. I gathered everybody and said, there's war. We now prayed till 10 o'clock, thereabout. I'm not very sure of the time, but it's something like that. So there was a release. We went to the room. At least I can tell you about our own room. Me and my wife. And she went to sleep. And I know that it's not time to sleep. And then demons with two heads came to our room. One came by one, two heads. I still told that demon that this place is not for spirits. This place is for men. We are the ones that have control here. And I did not come in my name. I came in the name of Jesus. The thing went outside the room. I was walking on the pavement. Walking on the pavement till 3 o'clock. Meanwhile, on the bed, my wife will be doing as if she's having a bad dream. I will touch her. From 1 till 3, she was doing as if she had was having a bad dream. But I know what was happening. In the morning, all the team members that came to that place, I gathered us together. Everybody. So, what did you see after the prayer? Because you need to get feedback. Because when battles take place, God gives visibility. He gives us the opportunity to see what is happening. It's part of his responsibility because he's the one that teaches your hands to fight and your fingers to war. So he will give you a clue as to what was going on. And the thing about spiritual warfare, don't be used to fighting it alone. Not because you don't have the anointing or the authority, but most times the feedback may not come to you. The feedback, I mean divine feedback. If you are like 12 people, maybe 4 people will receive feedback. But without fail, there must be feedback. God must show what is happening. So you gather your intelligence from the feedback. Oh, you are not with me. Daniel chapter 2. Let me enlighten you. Meanwhile, 1 Peter 5 is our scripture. We'll come back to it if the Lord permits. Are you there in Daniel? All right. Daniel chapter 2 verse 17. Okay, let's say 16. 16. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he will give him time and that he will show the king the interpretation. 17. What did he do? Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to his companions. That's how spiritual things are sought. It was Daniel alone that went to the king. I heard you are desperately looking for interpretation. Why not give me time? So the king accepted. Then Daniel went back and he got his companions. 18, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, and that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the secret was revealed unto Daniel in the ninth vision. All of the companions produced the answer, but Daniel received the answer. The shape of spiritual warfare is corporate. You are not with me. The shape of spiritual warfare is what? Corporate. That's why the basic unit can be you and your wife. Maybe if your wife is not interested, you can get someone else. Your husband is not interested. You can get somebody else. But spiritual warfare basically is more corporate in outlook. You see, the anointing was upon Elijah. Do you understand that? And because it was upon Elijah, Jezebel threatened Elijah, because he knows if he takes Elijah out, there is nobody that has that spirit of judgment operating in him. So before Elijah went out, God told him, put the anointing on different people. Let one man not carry it. In the days of Elisha, they did not seek to kill him. There were a few people that were operating in that dimension, so they did not zero it in on him. In the time of John the Baptist, that spirit of judgment came upon one man. What happened again? Herodias fingered him. That is the reason why I believe that the greatest service I will do to God is to ensure that many people carry the anointing I carry. And maybe by God's providence, you will even carry a higher measure. Right? God can decide that, so it's not up to me. But that I disciple someone that God can put something heavier than what he gave me is a sign that I'm great in heaven. When the anointing is on many people, Satan knows that if he kills one, he has not solved the problem, they will leave. But if the anointing is on one man, one champion, it is very easy to know who to take out. For a long time in Nigeria, ministers pride in the fact that they are lone rangers in the wilderness of the anointing. It's a risky disposition. It's a risky place to be. So one of the questions we need to be asking ourselves as ministers, who have you raised? A pastor was celebrating his 50th birthday, and many gifts were coming in. Many gifts were coming in. People were traveling in and giving gifts. The only question they did not ask in that birthday is, who has he raised? Because there was no one on ground. Meanwhile, the sheep of spiritual warfare itself is what? It's corporate. Daniel went to his companions, and all of them went to desire mercies of God. Right? But it was one person that received the feedback. So it's a corporate thing. So when we go fighting, we do night vigil today. Before we begin night vigil tomorrow, we have to interview the participant. What was the feedback? Because that's the mode in which intelligence comes to you. Spiritual warfare is fought on the level of intelligence, not on the level of your human intelligence, but spiritual intelligence. So, the first disposition of a spiritual warrior is to resist steadfast in the faith. And you don't stop resisting until the devil decides to take a break. So if the devil is willing to go on for 17 months, you resist for 17 months. That is the area in which perseverance in prayer is a requirement. You will stay on the field of battle as long as Satan is willing to stay. Exactly. You don't like that. The meaning of that is spiritual warfare is not a sprint. It's a marathon. It is not a one touch and go thing Because if you do one touch and go, he will meet you in the night. So you resist steadfast in the faith. It is a marathon, something you continue doing until Satan decides that, all right, it is obvious that it is futile trying to contend with you. I will come back again in another season. So when he leaves you, that is when you now enter into breakthrough. You enter into another level. You establish yourself on another height. Because when he's coming back, he's not coming back with the old weapons. He's coming back with new weapons. So weapon, he goes into the laboratory to forge weapons. And that's why the Bible says no weapon that is forged. Because it is forged with you in mind, not forged with Philip in mind, forged with you in mind. So he needs some intelligence from you. He needs to understand the way you operate. He needs to know how you relate with your husband. He needs to know what your salary is. Then he forges a weapon with all of those parameters in mind. Takes him time to forge it. So while you are consolidating in his absence, do so, seeking higher levels of authority in the spirit. Because when you relax, because the breakthrough has come, you now buy a Benz, that type that the hair is like this. And then you ride it to the filling station and horn. Oh! So that someone that buys this car, you have to see it at least. You will not be ready when this strange personality comes with a new weapon. It has the specifications of your neck is built into that weapon. Unfortunately for us, the life of a Christian is a life of war. Unfortunately. I know you want it to be a life of breakthrough. That word is not in the Bible. So you resist steadfast. And you keep resisting till Satan turns back. If you get a major breakthrough like that and Satan turns back once, he has not only turned back from you, he turned back from your generation. He turned back from your son, from your daughter. He turned back. The kind of expression that your children will have because of that one victory that you secure is unthinkable. And if you fail in that battle, that same ground will be a slippery ground for your sons and daughters in the days to come. So the next time you say saviors will come out of Zion, let me educate you about the responsibility of being a savior. It means you will never turn back in battle. And that's why there is no armor built for the back of a Christian. You have breastplate of righteousness. You have what? Shield of faith. Sword of the spirit. Word of truth. Helmet of salvation. Nothing is built for the back. Because the name of this warfare is no retreat, no surrender. Please help me tell your neighbor, and tell your neighbor with faith, Satan will not see my back. Let me tell you, show you the words that you hold in your mouth when you are worrying. Let me give you a sample. This is just an example, all right? You can devise your own words consistent with the shape of the battle. Exactly. But God was teaching Ezekiel spiritual warfare. Ezekiel chapter 29 verse 2. Son of man, set thy face against Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and prophesy against him and all Egypt. Speak and say. This is God teaching, giving the man words. Thus said the Lord, I am against thee, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, the great dragon that lieth in the midst of the rivers, which had said, my river is my own. When these demons come, they claim ownership. There's a language of ownership that is retained in their words. That's what that dragon said. He said, this river is my own. He said, this river, I made it for myself. That means it's for me alone. These spiritual entities are territorial, they are possessive, and they claim ownership. Have you seen spirits before that are attached to your family? And they believe they own it. They own your family. That's their nature. This utterance that God was putting in the mouth of Ezekiel. Ezekiel was supposed to hold that utterance, and that is what he's speaking consistently. Before you fight, ask God to give you the utterance. Are you with me? Don't worry. We'll do the practical of what I'm teaching here today so that you see how it looks like. See, the realm we went when we prayed those prayers, you were not the one praying, but the Holy Ghost in you that was doing that thing. Because you had moved the battle into the supernatural. You were no longer using your supernatural capacity. The utterance was coming from the Holy Ghost. I tell you the truth, you cannot ascertain what happens in those moments. The nature of these spirits is that they are possessive. They claim ownership, they claim rights, and they believe that dominion is their portion. It will take one kingdom man to change all of that. If you are willing to persevere. That's why some of us are sold out. It is war till the end. That's how Christians are supposed to be. Warriors. Yes. Not guys, but warriors till the end. Hallelujah. So we are going to fight. But let me round up because I can't finish the teaching. It's long. Go on, next verse. This is God still saying, I will put hooks in thy jaws. I will cause the fish of thy rivers to stick on thy scales. I will bring thee up out of the midst of thy rivers, and all the fish of thy rivers shall stick unto thy scales. And I will leave thee thrown into the wilderness, thee and all the fish of thy rivers, and thou shalt fall upon the open fields, and thou shalt not be brought together, nor gathered. I will give thee for a meat to the beast of the field, and to the fowls of heaven. When God puts words in your mouth to utter, you are not thinking of what to say. For Ezekiel, these utterances will not be edited. If he wakes up on Monday night, he sets his face and he begins with the utterances. You don't need to change utterances too much when you are fighting, especially if you know what you are fighting for. The ability is not intelligence in changing utterance. The ability is in the ability to resist steadfast. Part of the prayer we're going to pray is this. You will ask God to give you the grace to stay. Many weaklings begin this project and then run away. It means you are not fit for the kingdom. You put your hand to the plow and you look back. Meanwhile, you're already in the battle. You can't even decide to, if you quit, even if you run, it means the intensity of the pressure will be multiplied. I know you want a break. You want to just stretch and just. The Lord said, if we can fight this year, if we do what we are doing, we'll continue. By June, Corona will start becoming a thing of the past. If we continue, June, July, you begin to see that place of preeminence that he has in our newspapers, it will lose it. Can you resist steadfast? To begin to lose his grip on the earth because we refuse to back out. We will have no choice but to reschedule this meeting. I say, I will come back again. I will be back. It means I can't succeed now, but I will come back. I was in 300 level in the university and I went home. And because of how I love church, I just dropped my bags at home. I took my Bible and went to church. One of our elders now saw me and said, "Hey, God, we are welcome." Never been welcome like that. What's the problem? Then the next day, the elder sent for me, came to the house. I saw her granddaughter in chains. They told me the story. That she got initiated in a witchcraft cult, an ancient witchcraft cult. In fact, the totem of that cult, they got it from Benin City. That's where they got that totem. From the original Benin altar of witchcraft. That's where they got that. The woman that held it was about 80-something years old. And she was one of the people that they initiated recently. And she fell in love with her. And called her and said, "I'm going to transfer my powers to you because the time for my departure has come." Well, it's not something, it's not a burden that you can bear casually. So what I will do is I'll release a few demons. If you can manage them, then I will release the other ones. Those ones will be giving you wisdom, they'll be speaking into your ears, teaching you what to do. So when they release a few demons on the lady, she trekked across four local governments. Yes, that's what I'm saying. She trekked without getting weary across four local governments. It was true. Thank God GSM had come. So it was a phone call she received. "We saw your daughter in this local..." What? How did she get there like this? So you now know why the elder was happy. Because they took that lady for deliverance everywhere they knew how to go. Her case grew worse. When a 300 level student comes from the university, she's now celebrating. Her granddaughter can be free. And you know those days, anywhere we saw demons, we went. Right? We won't check whether we have the clearance level to deal with. And the mercy of the Lord was so active. I told the woman, "I don't need physical deliverance. I will pray from 8 to 10, and your daughter will be free. In my house. I'll pray in my house. I've seen those ones before. Speak the word only, and thy servant shall be healed." What you believe is what God has made you experience. called my friend, and we began to pray. 6 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 9:30, a beast now appears before me with the face of a cat, high, beyond, far beyond the ceiling, okay? I've seen demons before. I see them, they look like, some of them look like monkeys, some like dogs, some like snakes. The ones that tie your neck that you can't say, shh, those are the ones like snakes. They're like a thread. So they tie your neck, then you say, shh, can't say Jesus. I know those types. But I've never seen a demon that looked like a beast. And he looked at me with so much wickedness. And I spoke in tongues, all the tongues I knew how to speak, for 35 minutes. My tongues didn't affect it. I was just looking at me like that. And he told me, I will be back. So I now told the demon, why not now? Why do you need to go and prepare? See me now. Do you know that when he spoke to me, his mouth didn't move? He spoke through his thoughts. And I got what he was saying. Say, I will be back. He came back 9 years later. By the time he came back, it was not that shape again. Oh. He camped with me for 9 months. That's when I knew. Those were when I took my lessons in spiritual warfare. You will hear that a man of God just died. It's not heart attack. I took my lessons in spiritual warfare for 9 months. That's when I discovered that it's not a change of plan. Just keep resisting. And if you resist for like 5 hours, it will leave. Tomorrow evening, it will come back. For 9 months. I was in Lagos then. The people I was staying with, people like Felix, they didn't know. Because I don't share my stories of battles when I'm fighting until I finish. 9 months. And I noticed that if I travel out of Lagos, it will not be able to come until I come back. So I was looking for invitations to go out and rest and sleep. Then I come back prepared for battle. Until I went to Enugu to preach, and then the demon followed me to Enugu. That was the first time it crossed Lagos. So God now gave me a lecture that I don't have time to deliver to us. You know what the Lord told me? He said, when I prepare a messenger to deploy him in the earth, I give him weapons. You do what? Weapons. Never knew there were weapons. And he showed me one. It was that one I used on that beast. It took the beast 35 minutes to fall. It was falling, but it took 35 minutes. When it hit the ground, then it disappeared. 35 minutes. It was after that that I had the authority to challenge a native doctor. When I saw that thing fall, I knew that native doctors were not strong. Can you resist until Satan excuses himself? Before we launch, because this is, I have 5 more minutes. Before we launch, you are going to pray a prayer that God should give you the capacity to persist. That is the difference between a general and a noisemaker. A noisemaker cannot survive the level of pressure that spiritual warfare brings. But a general understands that endurance means to outlast the devil. Endurance. It means to outlast the devil. I know someone in this place is already fed up with the wars you are fighting. And you are saying, why me? Wake up, smell the coffee. If you back out, all your children will be slaves. Yes. They'll be slaves. Destiny will be slippery for them because of your failures. Generals can stand. That's why I say, haven't done all. Stand. 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 And I have witness from the Lord that in a short while, the canopy that is held over Nigeria will fall suddenly. The power of the Assyrian will be broken. Hey, suddenly. We've been a people that have been held by the power of witchcraft. But if the sons and daughters of Zion understand that in warfare there is no retreat, there is no surrender, then you will hear the victor's song. Can you ask him for grace? Never to quit, never to cast in the towel. We fight for ourselves and for our children. We fight for the continent of Africa. We fight for our household. We fight for children yet unborn. We fight because we know we have the calling to be saviors that will be deployed from Zion. Receive strength right now. Receive strength. Receive strength. Ask him to strengthen you with might by his spirit in the inner man. If you throw in the towel, if you look back, the Holy Ghost say, my spirit will take no pleasure in you. I receive strength to stand. Only those that can outlast the devil will sing the victor song. Concerning my family, I will sing the victor song. Concerning Nigeria, I will sing the victor song. Concerning Africa, I will sing the victor song. I will see the end of the days of the beast. I will see the end of the power of the serpent. I will see the end of darkness. And like Jesus Christ on the cross, I will have the privilege to say, it is finished. I am a Mokosia. I will say, it is finished. And the Koreani, the Scovelima, Abakai Tokome. Oh, I will not retreat. I will not surrender. For greater is he that is in me than he
answer. The warrior torch arises with fire in their eyes. They will mount up with wings like the eagle, and nothing shall stop them. The victory of the Lord shall be seen because you persevere. Satan is not in control. Is not in control. Demons are not in control. God is in control. I will sing the victor song. I will sing the victor song. Secubirami, Brisco Felama Santol. Strengthen yourself. You cannot give up now. You've been on this path for too long. You are closer to the finish line than when you began. Your children will call you blessed. Your sons will call you blessed. Blessed be the day that you were born, that a warrior was born into our family. Such a man that will not give up, such a woman that will not give up. Generations unborn will call you blessed, because in your day salvation was robbed. The kingdom of our God, the power of his Christ. Your children will call you blessed. Blessed be the day that you were born. Blessed be the day that you arose in the Lord. Blessed be the day. Be strengthened, O warrior. For the days of rejoicing are near. I will sing the victor song. Amesus aleka yama. Raska bote, ricopatuna ide, escompena, paratos, bacaseli, bacacolia maseli, is coming. This word is not for spirit, it's for men. It's for men. It's for men. Men rule here. that. Men rule here, not Satan. Seboko Ramasan. Lala lo seke. Hino bobo bobo dea. Ento kopeta kamenashi. Resto filano. Matayeto kopo. Oh. Ay, 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 ay. Himamo seke. To show you the victor song, Revelation 12 from verse 7. I will live long enough to sing this song. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. The victor song. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accuseth them before God day and night. Now is come salvation and strength. I want to see that day that salvation will break out, that strength will come forth, that the kingdom of our God, that the power of his Christ will be made manifest. Just because we took Satan down, we took the serpent down, we took demons down, I will sing the victor song. I will be standing when that song is sung. I will still be sung, be standing. Oh my God. Can you pray tonight? Through your life, salvation will come. Through my life, victory will come. For now is come salvation and strength, the kingdom of our God, the power of his Christ. Oh my God. I will be standing. I will be standing. In my time, the darkness will cease. In my time, the witchcraft will come to an end. In my time, salvation and strength will come forth. Rabasha. Yamo Moseke la Magadia. Urena Sake la Bodia Capella.
Please take your seat for a moment and let the offering basket move around. The first three layers of the kingdom tradition. The first three layers. I have an announcement that I've been instructed by our Father and the Lord to make, and I will do that within the next 5 minutes. So I seek your kind indulgence to indulge me as I run through that rapidly, and then we make an end to our meeting. The first three layers of the kingdom tradition is expressed in what is called a tripartite practice of the kingdom. Number one, the Bible says, when you pray. Number two, it says, when you give. Then number three, it says, when you give. When you pray, when you fast, and when you give. These three things, they are not normal for any normal human being. That is why we take time to teach, to motivate people, to teach so much, to motivate, to ginger, to advise, to counsel, and to lecture and teach and preach and impart people so that they can rise up to become people of prayers, so that they rise up to become people of fasting, so that they also rise up to become people of giving. Because, and there are some persons that excel in the area of fasting, because you motivate them and you emphasize that so much, suddenly they become motivated to fast and to pray. But the other three aspects, they are not self-motivated to rise up in that regard. But the battle we face in this life, there are some of those battles that can be handled by your fasting, and there are some other battles that can be handled by your praying, and then there are some other battles that can only be handled by your giving. If we read the story of Dorcas in Acts 9 from verse 37, the Bible says she was a disciple. If the Bible says she's a disciple, that means the tradition of prayer was a normal component of her practice. And then the Bible also says that she was full of good work. There's no widow in that city that the impact of her good work was not represented in her life. But in spite of all those things that she was doing, the Bible says she died. When she died, the widow gathered around her and prayed her back to life. It was her prayer, the widow's prayer, that connected Peter, that came to bring her back to life. Now, amen. Amen. When God places a man before you, one of the things he does is that he wants you to learn his practices so that you practice it also, because it is not everything God will tell you directly. There are other things he will want you to go and learn by observation, because he says, go to the ant and learn her ways. Our Father in the Lord, he told us a story a few days ago, how an issue came up and he had to sacrifice, make his own personal sacrifice of 15 million naira. He raised the 15 million naira and he sold it. He used it to buy a piece of equipment that is needed in the project that is ongoing. But it is not always wise for only one person to be doing this thing all the time, because there's a dimension of the possibilities of God you will not enter into if you don't rise up to do those things yourself. So he asked me to bring it to our notice that the ACs, some of our facilities are deteriorating seriously. For instance, we have 10 copies of ACs, air conditioning unit, in this hall, and then we have 4 more in the office complex. All of them had begun to shut down almost at the same time, as if they are planning a coup against us in this season of heat. So all of them are failing. The generating set had begun to go bad also. So he said each and every one of us should rise up to the challenge and bring a sacrifice towards the replacement. Some of the units will be replaced and the others will be repaired. And the cost of this work is 30 million naira. The generating set that cannot power these ACs that are failing, even the generating set cannot power it anymore. Cannot power them. That is why you see that some of the ACs, they are switched off. The generating set is 8 million naira, and then the AC, the air conditioning unit, and their repairs is like 5 million naira. So the sum total is 13 million. And these things needs to be done before 19th or by 19th of this month. So if you are here and if you are following us online, it is another challenge to practice the area, the third aspect of our Christian tradition, which is giving. So make plan to be part of it. Begin to be part of it immediately and make plan to be part of it. So take hold of the account details on the screen, make some transfer. If you want to transfer the entire 30 million naira, it is fine. And if you want to drop some aspect of it, it is equally fine. But you cannot outgive God. That is the ultimate motivation. So please take this instruction, take this information to heart, and do something very urgently about it, because it is quite urgent. Amen. Secondly, tomorrow will be Power and Prophetic Service. Power and Prophetic Service is a traditional service that is specially tailored to deal with peculiar kind of issues that are very, very rebellious and disobedient to normal spiritual atmosphere. When we gather, we trust God to bring down his hand to deal with issues that are beyond the capacity of individuals or few groups of people to handle. So as you make your way here to this place tomorrow, or you bring along the people that are challenged, the hand of God will descend to deal with those kind of issues. You may now rise up as we shut down for today.